Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks for joining us. It's good to be with you. I know it's a dream come true for you to be part of our day, and I can see that. I want to introduce you to Robert McEwen. Robert is, I think he also goes by Bob, is an award-winning dramatist, ladies and gentlemen. He's also a satirist. Anybody who can write satires can come and sit by me anytime. He's won a number of awards for his writing, for his plays, and for his the work that he's done. He's a former reporter and editor with the Associated Press. He's a certified facilitator of the Artist's Way at Work, and he's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, The Tales of the PC. Robert McEwen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's good to be aboard.
It's good to have you here, and I love the title of your book, Tales of the PC. Political correctness, Bob, is going to be the end of us, isn't it?
Well, I certainly hope we can overcome its impact, and I think humor is one of the ways that we'll be able to do that. So,
but PC has eradicated humor. I mean, it's like this. So what you're talking about here is the civil war between humor and political correctness.
Well, there is a war. It's a civil war. It's funny, you know, back at the 1992 Republican convention, Pat Buchanan delivered a speech for which he was excoriated when he talked about the cultural war.
Right.
And now it's happened, and
right.
You know, everybody forgets about that. He was quite prescient.
And I called it a civil war, but it's actually kind of an uncivil war, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. But, you know, many of the pieces in this book, in Tales of the PC, which, again, is you note as a pun on political
mm-hmm.
correctness,
mm-hmm.
Were written more than 10 years ago. And, if anything, the polarization of the country and the intensification of PC has continued. So I thought it was timely to bring it out in an election year.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you doing that because folks, I've read a few of the offerings in the book, and they're a lot of fun, and they really do kind of, regardless of which side of the aisle you are on, which side of the issue you're on, I think you'll enjoy this, especially if you have any ability to have a little fun, and maybe even especially if you're able to laugh at yourself a little bit. It seems to me, Bob, that at the crux of this whole matter is this desire by some people to either claim victimhood or to tell others that they need to consider themselves to be victims. What do you think?
That's right on the money. One of the pieces in the book that strikes at the heart of that is entitled Minnesota Twins, in which a pair of identical twins launches a nationwide boycott against the Minnesota Twins baseball team because they find the nickname offensive.
This is a funny one, folks. They're all funny, but this is a good one.
Now, the target, as you point out, you know, the target of the satire here is not so much Native Americans, you know, who protested against the Cleveland Indians and the Atlanta Braves, but rather it's this obsession we have in our society with claiming victim status. We have, you know, myriad groups competing to establish themselves as the most aggrieved and generate the most amount of collective guilt so they can leverage that guilt into legislation.
Right.
That creates advantage for one group at everyone else's expense.
Well, and it's not only legislation, it's also financial advantage from corporations and from businesses. I mean, even from small businesses. But you know, Bob, I've got to state the one classic example. So far, I haven't come up with a better one of how this has gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I guess he was the budget director for the mayor of Washington, D.C. You may know the story where I'm headed here. But he was talking about needing to tighten the belt there and the belt lobby is not going to like me using that. But tighten the belt there in D.C. Now, the mayor of Washington, D.C. is a black man.
Mm-hmm.
this man is a Jewish man, and as I remember, and he says we're going to have to be more niggardly with our finances.
With a D in that word.
Webster, that's an excellent word.
Uh-huh.
It struck right to the point of being, the point he was making was, it was just one word that basically said we're going to have to tighten our belt, and it covered lots of bases. But he literally was fired for having said that because he used the word niggardly.
Yeah.
Now that to me, if you can't even use words that maybe in some way sound like, what is that? What are those? Homonym? Is that
homonyms,
what?
Right. Yeah.
If you can't even use a homonym, and it's not even a homonym, it's just a, the guy was fired for that. Now, I think he might have gotten his job back ultimately, but it was a big brouhaha. Now, that's just gone too far.
Yeah, that is absolutely absurd. Of course, if there's a place where it could happen, it would be in Washington, D.C.
Right, right. But,
I agree with you.
Well, what are we going to do about all this, Bob?
Well, my approach to it is just to keep poking fun at it, the great satirists in history, and I don't pretend to be one of them, but I certainly admire and aspire to their standards. Just keep stripping away the hypocrisy of this kind of stuff, and that's all that one person can do. Is what I try to do.
Isn't another way to? I mean, in addition to the satirists, don't we need to just try to have a sense of humor about things?
Oh, sure.
Shouldn't we all have an obligation to be able to laugh at ourselves, including? I mean, for me to laugh at me as a guy. Including laughing at me as a talk show host, whatever my role in life is, whatever my station in life is, to be able to laugh at that.
Yeah, I think humor can be a great means of, you know, dislodging entrenched ideologues, no matter what one's position is, and getting them to laugh at themselves. And that opens up a freedom of debate that political correctness tends to shut down.
One of the things that has caused this, the two areas are that there have been people in our society who've been disenfranchised. Women over the years were disenfranchised because they couldn't vote. Minorities, especially blacks, that we know that history. But can we say that those groups have gone far enough, and maybe it's not for me to say, maybe it's for someone else to say, that they've gone far enough, that they've come far enough now, where we can actually, you know, we don't have to be so politically correct about it anymore. I'm going to get you to touch that hot button when we come back after these messages. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with Robert McEwen. He's the author of Tales of the PC.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. Watch for the emotions on a guarded face.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tales of the PC, ladies and gentlemen. That's spelled P-E-A-S-E-A. It's a play on the political correctness abbreviation, I should say. Tales of the PC by Robert McEwen. And Bob, tell us where the book's available.
Well, the easiest way is to go straight to my website, which is www.robertmcewen.com. That's RobertMcEwen. .com, and you can order it there, or go to any online bookselling site, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and get it there. Or just go into your local bookstore, and if they don't have it on the shelf, just ask them to order it.
Ask them for it, and they'll get it for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And Bob, what do you think about, you know, I mentioned a minute ago, I said, you know, and perhaps it's not for me to say, in fact, I'm sure it's not for me to say, and I'm sure there'll be people who will remind me that it's not for me to say, because I'm neither a racial member of a racial minority, or nor am I female. But my question is: have those groups come far enough to where we can actually allow them to be part of the who they are and what they do and the differences that they have, that we can now be part of the national humor?
Well, I think so, and you know, I'm in the same category as you, and folks might say, you know, I'm not the most credible voice in terms of addressing their disenfranchisement. But I'll tell you who are, and you, we talked at the break about the African-American community. I think the best spokespeople on behalf of the continuing emancipation of African-Americans in this country are the black conservatives, the Thomas Sowells, the Shelby Steeles, the Ward Connerlys. They speak, I think, with great moral authority when it comes to ending this kind of collective perception of victimization, where generations of young people are continuing to grow up with a sense of victimization and sense of entitlement. And it's the voices of men such as those I mentioned that are helping to turn things around.
Well, you know, Bob, political incorrectness may be a little bit insensitive. It may be a lot insensitive, but it's not debilitating like victimization is.
Mm-hmm.
Victimization is debilitating and paralyzing, and I think it holds people back. Don't you?
I think so. I mean, regardless of, you know, what kind of breaks one gets in life, and Lord knows that you know, many of the disenfranchised groups in this country have breaks that are a lot tougher than you know, someone like myself who's a middle-aged white guy. Regardless of what hand you're dealt at the start, all you can do is fight with the resources that God's given you to kind of climb up that ladder. And, you know, we can certainly extend a helping hand as best we can, but claiming victimization, I think, is a step back, not a step forward.
Mm-hmm. What are some, talk to us about some of the other things that you, some of the other examples that you use in your book to stick your finger in the eye of political correctness.
Sure. Well, one thing that is very timely right now, and again, you know, this piece was written 10 years ago. I had a short play entitled Nativity Scene, which opens on the stable in Bethlehem with the wise men warning of Herod's threat to the Christ child. And then suddenly these officious-looking men in modern dress come rushing in to seize the Holy Family. But then the lights on the stage change and fade back and show that we're not really in Bethlehem, but we're on a courthouse lawn. And the raiders are not Herod's men, but the ACLU removing the creche from public property. So this whole, another, you know, entire category of political correctness is this stance by the secular left to enforce separation of church and state, but doing so under the aegis of kind of stamping out religion wherever they can find it approaching, you know, the public. And
one of the things, Bob, that we got about a minute to go. What about writing politically correct? I mean, when I think about all the great works of literature that could never have been written if the author had to have been politically correct in terms of the way they use the pronouns.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, he, she, I mean, how could, I mean, what would Shakespeare have done with that?
Yeah, it would have shut down a lot of great literature. As a matter of fact, it's not just books. I mean, and it doesn't have to be classic literature. I heard an interview with you know, the great comic director Mel Brooks just within the past 6 months. He said he could not make Blazing Saddles today.
He would never
have been able to make Blazing Saddles in this climate.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Is I've got 30 seconds. You've got to save us in the next 30 seconds, Bob. Save us from ourselves, Bob.
Everybody out there, maintain a sense of humor. And when you cast your votes in local, state, and national elections, vote for people who just lay it on the line and tell it how it is and don't hide behind, you know, the false rhetoric or the barriers that are created by PC-like language.
Well said, Robert McEwen, the author of Tales of the PC. Thank you for being here. Will you come back another day?
I certainly will. Thanks for having me.
We'd love to have you back. We'll see you later, Bob. Quick break, right back with Tim Berry after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.